Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful grace and for the wonderful gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for those who shared the gospel with us, Lord, for the seeds sown, the seeds watered, and the bearing of fruit. And we praise you, Lord, and give you the glory for it all. And as we come before you now, Lord, we ask to be filled with your Spirit, to be led and guided, and Lord, that you be glorified and you'd be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've been looking at some messages on the place called hell, and we have seen that it's a real place. We saw also that it has various degrees of punishment there, and also we looked at us in the afternoon message last week, the neighborhood and the people who are going to be there. And today we're going to be looking at the fact, we're going to praise the Lord for not going there. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for not going there. J.C. Ryle said, "The watchman who keeps silent when he sees a fire is guilty of gross neglect. The doctor who tells us we're getting better when we are dying is a false friend. And the minister who keeps back hell from his people in his sermons is neither faithful nor a charitable man."
Amen.
Amen. And that's it. And it's not being taught today anymore. We're all being taught how good we are, how wonderful we are, and how God needs us. Amen. That's what's being taught in many churches today. But as a true born-again believer, there are a lot of reasons to thank God that we're not going to go to hell, but none of them is because of how well-behaved I am. Got nothing to do with that. It's got nothing to do that because I'm better than anyone else, or I'm in a certain group of people, or because the way I do things or lived, whatever I've given, it's got nothing to do with that. Because Isaiah 64:6 tells us, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities are like the wind, have taken us away." That's everybody. If you don't understand what all is, I will share it with you later on, amen? But it's all. And the only reason I can praise and thank God for not going to hell is because I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only reason. My wife had given her heart to the Lord in March 1987. And in September that year, I gave my heart to the Lord. And guess what? I've been saved ever since.
Amen.
Saved ever since. Deborah invited the pastor around one night. I thought, she's out to get me. She's out to get me. The pastor's turning up. And I'd been to church a few times and been to a church barbecue. I remember going home and telling Deborah, "Oh, they're normal. Those Christians are normal." And then the night the pastor came around, he shared Christ with me. He shared what the Lord had done for me, how he'd left his home in glory, how he, because of man's sin in the garden, and he gave his life upon a cross and shed his blood and took the punishment that I deserve to offer me salvation. Now, Deborah had a wonderful witness for the Lord in my life. And as we all sat around with Christ as the center of our conversation, I was asked if I wanted to accept him as my Savior. And it was then, as verses were shared with me, I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. Verses like Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, I learned the only way you get a wage is when you earn it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," I'm so glad for that word, "whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." We're not under condemnation if you're born again. Many teach they like to keep you under condemnation, but that's not what the gospel says. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Present. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But what I learned was it wasn't about me. Ephesians 4:32 says, "As God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." See, God's forgiven me. He offered me salvation for his Son's sake, not for mine. 1 John 2:12, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. You know, every day we should get up and thank and praise God for our salvation. Thank him for the honor and the privilege to serve him. And for the real and true fact that if you are born again, you will not spend 1 second in hell. Not one. Now, many like to teach you've got to go to hell to be purified before you can go to heaven. I fail to find that in the Word of God. Some like to teach Jesus went to hell and had to suffer there before he could go to heaven. I don't know where that comes from. But we're going to look at some reasons that as true blood-bought believers, we will be glad that we're not going to go to hell. You know, the first reason is all of us would be out of place. You know, the one thing I like about Sunday mornings when we're gathered together, we're all in place. We fit together. It's a beautiful thing. Matthew 25:41 says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. See, God didn't prepare hell for us, for mankind, for any man and woman. And everyone who goes there will be out of place. See, it was never fitted out for man to be there. You see, God created man in his own image and after his likeness. God did not create man to suffer torment for eternity. And it's not his will that anyone would perish. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, praise God for that, to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, all those who refuse to come to repentance, which is our change of our mind, to believe in him, will spend eternity in hell. And guess what? They'll be completely out of place. That's not a place they're going to fit in. You ever felt out of place? You go somewhere, or some situation. Can you imagine feeling like that forever? You know, I feel out of place sometimes when it comes to family. You know, I love my family. I love my mum and dad, my nieces and nephews and cousins and uncles and aunties. I love them all. And sometimes you've got to turn up to a wedding or a funeral or a birthday and they're not saved. And you begin to feel out of place when you're there. I remember my cousin, I was sharing the gospel with her at my uncle's 80th birthday, and Deborah will testify to this. All of a sudden, in front of lots of people, she yelled out, he's trying to convert me. And the whole room just turned and looked, and you feel out of place. You feel out of place. You get uncomfortable. Because what Christian wouldn't amongst all the reveling of this world? It's not pleasant to feel out of place. And a believer should be glad they don't go to hell because there's also no fellowship or companionship there. Matthew 25:30 says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, we can be sure that if a person drops into hell, not one soul there is going to want anything to do with him. It's as simple as that. There's no fellowship there. There's no welcome home party like some like to think. Every poor soul there is so occupied with their own personal pain and torture that there's no time for anybody else. You can call out all you want for help, but you won't find anyone listening to you. What would we do, brothers and sisters, if we couldn't share our burdens with one another? What would we do if we couldn't bear the burdens of one another? Can you imagine for one moment not being able to bear a brother or sister's burden? Even the unsaved who would not dare come to church, come and shows their respect at a funeral or so forth. You're not going to find that in hell. Think how much you love your family. Think about it. Now, if hell is a place where I wouldn't want them to be, and that is the truth, then that's the last place I would want to be. Thomas Hobbes wrote a very, very short sentence but so true. He said, hell is truth seen too late. Hell is truth seen too late. Another reason is there's no rest in hell. Revelation 14:11, it says, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. You know, I don't know about anyone, but the older you get, the more you appreciate rest, amen? I know mums appreciate rest, and looking after the kids all day. I tell you what, I would rather be a man going to work than a mum staying at home running a family. That's too much work for me. But the older we get, the more we appreciate rest. You know, when we were young, we didn't know what it was to take it easy, amen? You mums know that one. Kids are all over the place. We didn't know what it was to be tired. We could go all day. But these young ones, they just keep on going and going and going. But after years of busyness in our lives and the pressures that come upon us in life, one needs more rest than the crowded, filled days we have offer us. It's amazing that the Lord knew what it was to be weary. In John 4:6, he says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Here, our Lord himself was tired. He had to sit down and have a rest. He explained to his disciples in Matthew 8:20, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He didn't even have a home to go home and rest in. He had nothing. Nothing at all. You think of the hours that Jesus spent ministering to people, listening to people. They're drained. That's a draining ministry. Think of the prayer nights. The nights he slept rough, tired and worn out from his Father's work. And he never had a place to lay down his head. You know, weariness is something that we all experience. We grow tired and we need a rest. But think real hard about this. In hell, there will be no rest day or night. None whatsoever. Not for one moment. And that's only day and night as we know time. In hell, there will be day and night. It'll just be darkness all the time. Forever and ever. No clocks there. Not one moment, not one time. For all eternity will there be rest for those who go to hell. Now at the end of a hard day, there's nothing like sitting down in your own chair, amen? There's nothing that takes the place of your own bed when you go to sleep. But there's no luxuries down there. And praise God that we're not going there. Praise God, Hebrews 4:9 tells us, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. What a blessing. Fourth reason is we will be separated forever from God. Now, Oliver B. Green wrote, even if there were no fire in hell, no torment, no devil, no darkness, it would still be hell enough to be separated from God. You know, we all know that. When we have a moment where we may have fallen to a temptation, and we just know what it's like to feel that where's the Lord? Where's the Lord? There's nothing worse. Because God created man to have fellowship with himself. And I want to get something clear here. That doesn't mean God had needs. If God had needs, then that means someone had to create God. And that's not true. God doesn't have needs. God is complete in himself. Jesus said in John 5:26, the Father hath life in himself. He has no needs. God did not have the gift of life given to him. God is God. He's complete in himself. He was the one, the creator, who breathed life into us, his creation. God met with man, God walked with man in a beautiful garden, and apart from fellowship with God, man is most miserable. No one has ever known true joy or peace or contentment until they've been made right with God through his Son. Amen? Amen. That's just the truth. Now, can I ask, how's your joy, your peace, and your contentment this morning? What we do know from the Word of God is that the lost have no rest. Isaiah 57:20 says, "The wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose water cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." You know, what a description that is. You ever seen a sea when it's raging? When it's just all murky and messed up? You know, that's a terrible torrent to be in. And the lost sinner is never at peace. Have you noticed they're always on the go? They can't sit down. They can't be still. You look at the state of the world today. They have to be doing something. They have to be going somewhere. They're not happy just to be where they are, and they're on the move, and they don't have much peace or contentment. No one is sure where the world is headed or what's going on. That's the loss. You know, the end time system, we'd have to be blind as a believer to understand the end time system is not being set up right now. That man is being believed that he can fix his own problems. He can bring in peace and security to this world. Not realizing that Satan is busily at work at this very time, trying to damn every soul he can to hell. And until one is in a right relationship with God through his Son, they can never be what they were created to be. Never. You see, unsaved, they're never satisfied. No matter how much fame they get, no matter how much fortune they accumulate, no matter how great a reputation they have in life, they're always searching for more. The only people who know real peace, the only people satisfied and content, are the saved, born-again believers of God. Saved and completely surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and his plan and purpose for them. You know, today is a day to find real peace, real satisfaction, real contentment. Today is the day. It can only be found in God. And while you live, while you breathe, it's your only opportunity to become a child of God. Can you imagine a place that has no children in it? None at all. No babies. Imagine a place like that. You know, Friday night we had 9 children here that day. I didn't do much and they still ran me ragged. I was looking for rest, I can tell you. But what a blessing it was. I went out of here uplifted, joyful. Imagine a place with no children. Imagine a place with no babies. Imagine a place with no garden and flowers. No hills covered in trees. Can you imagine that? Because there's no beauty in hell. You know, the Garden of Eden, we know in Genesis 2:9, it was out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into 4 heads. You see, there was beauty in God's creation. And there'll be even greater beauty in the new heavens, the new creation, the paradise of God, where only the redeemed will be there with their Lord and God for eternity. You know, we know the truth from the parable from the story of the rich man and Lazarus. There's no water in hell. There's no rivers. Not one drop of water is there. We heard the beautiful sound of everyone singing here this morning. The music playing. You know, the only sounds of hell will be weeping and wailing. Separation from God for eternity. You ever wondered what it's going to be like to hear the angels singing when we get to glory? When all the saints are around the throne and the musicians are playing? I wonder if David will pick up a harp and give us a tune, amen? All for the glory of God. And guess what? It's reserved only for those who go to heaven. For no one else. One reason I'm very thankful to God is, see, with heaven, there's no way out. There's no exit signs, no doors to open and get out. Those who go there will be there for eternity, just as surely as there's an eternal resting place of joy and peace for those who are born again. Now, when a person closes their eye in death without Christ, immediately they face a Christless eternity, a place of eternal punishment. Jesus said in Matthew 25:41, "Then he shall say to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Luke 9:43 warns us that if thy hand offend thee, cut it off, for it is better to enter into life maimed than to having two hands to go into hell, into a fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off, it is better to enter and halt into life and having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What a horrible place that's going to be. Praise God, we're not going there. Praise God for that. Revelation 20:10 says, "The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Listen, if there was a way out of hell, if there was any hope at all that there was a limit to the sentence of dying without Christ, then a lost sinner may well do their time, take all the pleasure they can in sin for a season, suffer that sentence in hell, then live the rest of eternity with Jesus. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Hell is permanent. And if a person goes there, there's no way out. There's no pardon. There's no parole. You know, many people go to church and they live like that's how it's going to be. Oh, it doesn't matter how I live, I'll probably get out of there one day. No, we're not. It's eternal. And thank God, if you're a believer, we're not going to go there. Now, John Newton wrote a beautiful hymn. We all know it, Amazing Grace. Remember the verse, when we've been there, how long? 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, with no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. What wonderful word! What wonderful words of hope and truth. But brothers, said the same is for the lost who drop into hell. For billions of years, they'll have no less days to suffer the pain, the anguish, and the torment than when they first went there. What about the false teaching of purgatory? You won't find that anywhere in the Bible, where priests are praying for souls to be released from a waiting place after being purged of their sins. That's a lie. It's a made-up place by a church system made up of the devil's disciples. And I'm told it's not even in the Bible they read. Listen, brothers and sisters, be sure a person's destiny is sorted out this side of the grave. This side of the grave. And the split second one leaves this life, they will live eternally in heaven or in hell. But you've got to make the decision in this life. There is no escape. None whatsoever. And the reason we can be thankful for not going there is because eternal torment is there. They'll be cast, Matthew 13:42 says, into a furnace of fire where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, I've heard people boast how they're not afraid to go there. I've heard them talk about it like it's a joke. They'll just take their chances. People run their hands through a candle and laugh. Oh, that's not burning. Why don't they stop for a moment and just hold their hand over the flame? See how long it takes before they have to pull it away. Think of a flame that will never go out, day or night. Psalm 19:9-17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Where's our nation at this day? Our nation is turning away from God. It's the Christian nation only in name, not in practice. When the rich man found out there was no hope for him, not even a drop of water, that he couldn't get out of hell, he pleaded in Luke 16:27. He says, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." You know, those who are unsaved, people could be listening this morning. Those who are unsaved, if you have friends or loved ones who died without Christ, I can tell you on the authority of God's word, they're calling out and begging that someone go to them and let them know the truth of the gospel. Warn them about coming to such a horrible place. Begging them. You know, there's lots of reasons not to go to hell, brothers and sisters. And the devil, he's not there yet. He's walking around, Peter tells us, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And at the beginning of the millennium, he will be bound for 1,000 years in a bottomless pit. And when that time is ended, he will be loosed for a season, Revelation 20 tells us. Then at the end of all things, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone forever and ever. But in the meantime, he's using every unholy thing at his fingertips to damn as many as he can. And if you're a believer, he can't take your soul. But for those who are not, he's after. See, heaven is the most beautiful place and hell the worst place. Jesus took the sinner's place so they wouldn't have to go to hell. He took and paid the sin debt. And he had to suffer all the agony, all the torment of all the sin, past, present, and future, so we might be saved and escape that punishment. There is nothing we can do to save ourselves. It's been paid for in full. It is finished. It is the gift of God. And if a person refuses to receive that gift, then how shall they escape so great a sin? Greater punishment. God said, "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man." We have no excuse. You see, the only sin a person needs to commit to drop into hell is to ignore the death of Jesus Christ. Refuse him. And if they refuse him, then how shall they escape? How shall they escape? And that alone is enough for a person to spend eternity in torment. Now, God has done all he can do to keep people out of hell. And the unbeliever, if they refuse to accept his message from the Word of God, if they resist the Holy Spirit's moving amongst them and refuse the love of God, refuse his free gift of salvation, if they die and wake up, it will be in hell and it will be their fault, not God's. Isn't it time that if you're lost here this morning that you sit down with him and reason together with him? Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succoured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You know, many people will refuse to bow the knee to God while they're on this earth. But one day, at a judgment seat, they'll have no choice. And they will hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Now, God has no pleasure in the death of lost people. Ezekiel 33:11, he says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked may turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" See, his desire is that the lost come to him. He calls out to them. He wants to draw them. He says, "Whosoever will, you can all come. Don't delay, call on him now." See, many believe that many believe Jesus was a man, but that's intellectual belief. You know that James 2:9, he says, the devils, but the demons believe, and they're not going to heaven. They're not saved. You see, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to act concerning your soul as if you were hopping on a ferry to go to the other side of the country somewhere. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to act concerning your soul, that if you were to hop on a boat, you've got to get on the boat. If you're still at the port watching the boat sail off, then you're not on board. You're not on board. To get across, you've got to put yourself on the boat. And you see many people, they won't hop on a plane, they won't hop on a boat, they won't go anywhere. They may watch it go and come back, but they'll never be taken across unless they hop on. You've got to trust yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation. See, believing there is a God, believing that Jesus is his only begotten Son and that he died for his sins, yeah, many can believe that, but we've got to believe biblically to the extent where we put our trust completely in him for what he has done. There is no other way. He paid the sin debt. He will forgive your sins if we believe on him as the word of God tells us to. Jesus said in John 10:9, he says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture." Romans 10:9, "If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Promised. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You see, it's with our heart we believe unto righteousness. See, God saves the inner man, the spirit. And when we save, we confess that we're saved. When did we last time sit someone down? Our family. When was the last time we sat our grandchildren or our children down on the couch and testified to what God has done for us? Remember Jacob? Hebrews 11. He put his grandsons in front of him. And it says, Jacob leaning on his staff. What does that tell us? What's the Holy Spirit want us to know from that? Remember the day Jacob met the Lord? And the Lord broke his thigh. And here he is, leaning on his staff. What is he doing? He's testifying to what God had done in his life. His encounter with God. When was the last time we sat our kids down and shared our encounter with God? Let them know what God has done for us when we met him. How we were saved. When was the last time? Was it last week? Was it last month? What about last year? What about the year before that? Jacob leaning on his staff. If you've realized you're lost today, the Holy Spirit has touched your heart, and you talk to God as you would a friend. But if you're saved today, speak out for him. Let others know what he has done. Hell is a real place. It's got levels of torment. There are people who are going to go there. And we should be thanking God we're not, amen?
Amen.
Andrew Bonner speaks of a time when he was in Jerusalem. And he said, many years ago, a man came out from the Jaffa Gate in Jerusalem. It's one of the big gates there around the city. And he stood upon a hill, shouting with all his might as if forewarning of danger and wildly waving his arms about, trying to get people's attention. I asked our tour guide, what is the man saying? Oh, he's shouting, yella, yella. I said, what does that mean? He said, come along, come along. And we found out we were about to be shut out the gate. And the messenger had come out to warn us the gate was about to be slow. We made haste, as we did not all relish the thought of being kept outside the city walls. We were just in and no more. As soon as we entered, the gate closed behind us. It reminded me of Matthew 25:10. The door was shut. The lesson we learned was make haste. A lesson which some of us never forgot. So near being locked out of an earthly Jerusalem. What if it were to be not almost together, shut out of the heavenly city? No time to lose. Too much time has been lost already. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Aren't we so joyful that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit? Aren't we joyful we're not going to hell? Shouldn't we be thanking God every day for that? That through the finished work of His Son, we will not spend one moment in that place. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are born again, children of yours, and that we will not spend one moment in such a horrible, terrible place as hell. Father, help us to recognize what you have done for us in such a way. We want to share that with those around us, with our families, with our children, with our friends, because the day is soon coming when it will be too late. We thank you, Lord, we praise you, that we will one day sit at your feet, that we will walk streets of gold, that we will see gates of pearl, and that you and you alone will be the light of heaven. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.